This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome into the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I think you all know, but just to break it down, I am your host for this first hour and your host throughout the week on our daily editorials, on our website and podcast. This weekend show, I'm switching up the format just a little bit when it comes to this first hour. Typically, I start off with a couple segments talking about the broad markets, more economics, really the major stories of the week and how they impact the markets throughout the week and moving forward, and then usually I follow up with some more discussion focused on the resource sector. I'm going to start off with the resource sector in this first hour because I am chatting with the guys from Exploration Insights, Joe Mazumdar and Brent Cook. I'm starting off with Brent Cook here, and Brent, I have to say, for a guy who I thought was moving into retirement, you're still very active within the letter. I understand that Joe has really started to take this over, but I still see you at a lot of these shows. You're still speaking. You're still spending time chatting with me. Maybe just share with our audience how you're still staying active for whatever reason.
Yeah. Thanks, Corey. I would call myself semi-retired. I'm basically just doing what I want to do. Joe is now his newsletter, although we work together all the time on ideas and projects and such. But, you know, I love the sector, and it's really important to me to get out and see rocks, because what I'm really after now is just looking for the next big discovery. That's what really I'm interested in doing. So by going to the shows, I bump into friends I've worked with around the world, see what's going on, go to a few projects that look interesting, that sort of thing. Like last year, I was in Namibia, Japan, South Korea, Guatemala, Mexico, Australia. I'm not sure where I'm going yet this year, but I'm sure things will come up.
You know what, Brent, I enjoy chatting with you, and I really enjoy chatting with Joe, and we're going to have somewhat similar discussions in these first couple segments because I want to get both of your guys' thoughts on especially where you see the current state of resource stocks. Now, as you mentioned, you're out there looking for these big, significant deposits, so we're going to start off with the current state of juniors in terms of explorers. Either these companies that have just gotten a sniff of a discovery or still very much doing some green fields drilling. How are you viewing this subsector of the juniors?
In general, I'm pretty encouraged by what I'm seeing out there in terms of money coming into the junior sector, and that's been happening over the past, I don't know, call it 6 months. You know, we're seeing major mining companies do more and more joint ventures or private placements with juniors, which tells me that they recognize there's a shortage of ore down the road that they need to fill, and it's something that they can't do on their own. And in fact, it's a lot more cost effective if you go into a new country or something like that to joint venture with someone who's competent, knows all the people, knows the laws, have done the groundwork. So that's a cheap entry for a major mining company. And we're also seeing a lot of early stage exploration companies get financed on good ideas, and in fact, a lot of them are getting, you know, offered 2 to 3 times more money than they're asking for. And that's encouraging. So I think the sector is, in general, is looking pretty good. However, I think one needs to be very cautious as to who they invest in and who they give money to, because there's still a lot of deadbeats out there plying dog projects.
Unfortunately, but you know what? The argument is that that's always the case in especially the precious metals sector and in a sector that has started to run and has started to break out. The junior sector, though, is still very selective in terms of what stocks are running, which makes me think that there is still a lot of smart money out there. What are some of the selective natures that you look for, almost your checklist that you go through when you're looking at a newer exploration play?
Well, I suppose, you know, the main thing, again, I'm looking for large, significant economic deposits that a major mining company is going to want to buy. That's always been our exit strategy at Exploration Insights. We'd rather sell to someone smarter than us than dumber than us. So that's kind of where we go. So, you know, you need competent management that knows what they're doing. You need a share structure that's not going to kill you, even if they're successful. Given that we know most of these ideas and projects are going to fail, you need to do real due diligence on these projects to find the fatal flaw ahead of the crowd, which is, you know, again, what we spend a lot of time on. If you read Joe's letter, he goes into immense detail as to the geology, the economics, and that sort of thing, which is critical. So that's sort of what we're doing there now.
Now, just a quick comment on share structure. Can you share with us maybe some levels of where you either turn away from a certain share structure or one that you say, okay, this is still manageable?
I think it's most important to understand where the shares are, who owns them, what they paid for those shares, whether they got in 1 million shares or 10 million shares at 2 cents, and now they're, you know, they're about to come free trading. Are they reporting or not? Often you see management and friends and family own 30% of the company. Well, that friends and family may not be reporting. So the management, you know, looks like he or she is still holding a stock, but they're selling into various promotions and that. So I'd also look to who's promoting the stock and why. Newsletters and such. You know, how much are they getting paid? How did they get paid? That sort of thing. So I think that's really important when you're looking at share structure. I personally like to see a tight share structure, although we do invest in Australian companies which are the opposite of tight. But I think a tight share structure with management that actually owns some at a reasonable price is where we're looking.
Now, one other aspect that you and I were chatting about off mic, there's a lot of junior companies out there that are trying to take a look at old projects, a lot of recycled projects, or even those projects that were mined, say 20, 30, maybe even 40 years ago, and now the argument is metal prices are higher, or quite frankly, we're looking at the project in a different way. How do you go about analyzing these?
Well, again, I'm afraid it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, I can give you examples of companies that are re-looking at old mining districts and being quite successful in reinterpreting the geology and such. I mean, I can give you Liberty Gold up at their Black Pine project in Idaho. That's, you know, that was mined by Pegasus way back in the 80s and 90s, and they've come in and reinterpreted and found a lot more gold, just based on, you know, understanding the geologic setting and such. A company that we own, Blackstone Minerals, which is Australian listed, they picked up a nickel PGM property in Vietnam that was mined in the past unsuccessfully, but the problem in the past was the tax structure with the Vietnamese government killed them. So these guys have kind of fixed that and are now developing what I think will be a very good nickel deposit, and they've structured it such that they've got probably an offtake agreement with a Korean battery company, so they can sell the nickel right there. The battery company, batteries are made there. They can make the cars there. That sort of change is what we're looking for in projects that have, you know, been mined or worked in the past.
All right, Brent, we're going to wrap it up there. We are out of time for this segment, but great having you on the show. Thanks for spending some time with us, and thanks for outlining where you are focused in the near and, I guess, medium term, we can even say. Brent, great chatting with you. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Joe Mazumdar, more or less continuing down this thread, looking at what stocks and what resources interest the guys over at Exploration Insights. Thanks for your time, Brent.
Hey, thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed that first conversation with Brent Cook. I am now, as promised, chatting with Joe Mazumdar from Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, let's go a little bit higher up the food chain when it comes to resource companies. Brent and I talked a lot about the juniors and explorers. You and I were chatting off mic, and you said that right now you do have a general focus on these development plays because they are trading at such a discount to the metals price, and also considering all the other resource companies out there in the different sectors that they are in, development plays are getting not very much love. And you know what? There is a reason for that, maybe in terms of funding and in terms of the slow news flow. Development plays tend to be somewhat longer-term investments because they don't have those near-term catalysts necessarily that, say, exploration plays do, or even some of the actual production plays. Take us through what you're liking or why you're liking these development plays.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me. Yeah, development plays historically always get a discount because in terms of the discovery curve, that's where a lot of the risk is out there, you know, because now you've switched from retail and you're trying to pick up different types of investors. This time it's more discounted because those other types of investors, there's not as many of them because institutional equity is really not there anymore to pick up the ball from retail after the company goes into development or looks to go into development. So I think right now the discount for development projects is much higher. And so it presents an opportunity if you can find the right development project. And that comes with knowing that the financing risk is mitigated by having shareholders with deep pockets, and or you have a partner, a big company that's partnered in the project that helps mitigate all the technical and execution risks that a development project could have. And so that's really part of what I'm looking at right now and part of some of the companies I've purchased.
Now, what about scale or general size of the development, too? There are a number of smaller companies trying to bring smaller mines into production, something that Brent and I did touch on quickly. But in terms of large-scale projects that do cost a lot of money to get up and running, I find those to be fewer and further between. Where are you finding your sweet spot?
Well, right now, it could be a mix. I mean, if it's a large development project, let's say like Trilogy Metals Arctic deposit, which is right now they have the pre-feasibility study and they're working on the feasibility study, but they just recently signed the joint venture with South 32, a large multi-billion dollar diversified miner, ASX listed, that doesn't have a lot of copper assets. You create this, I have a big company that's going to lead the engineering, that's going to help mitigate the issues that a small company would have in dealing with, you know, all the development issues or putting in new personnel in that. You already have that with the major company. But for me, a good blueprint of that would have been how Gold Road managed the development of the Gruyere joint venture with Goldfields. That was a 50-50 joint venture and basically in the middle of Western Australia. And this company went from discovery to actual building into first pour within 5 years, which is unheard of. But part of the reason they were able to do this is a well-managed joint venture with Goldfields, that Goldfields came in there. They knew how to develop big gold projects, and they focused in on that part, whereas the other company, Gold Road, focused in on what it does best, which was exploration. And so, we did well on that stock. Trilogy is a bit different in that it's been exploring, it's been developing this project. South 32 has come in, but it's similar in that, South 32 injected a lot of money into it. They're using their own people to develop the project, and Trilogy is going to sit there with a minority position in a big project that's being developed by a major. And so in the end, you know, is it an M&A target? Potentially, but otherwise, hopefully it's just a dividend paying cash cow, if you're a really strong believer in the copper market.
So what about some of the risks that companies have when they are going through development? As I said, it's a slow news flow time, and unfortunately, when you get any sort of significant news when companies are in development, it usually tends to be negative news in terms of delays or cost overruns or really anything that doesn't seem to be lining up with some of their studies that they had on the resource or the deposit before going into development. What do you follow closely? And what do you consider when you're balancing out, say, PFS or even a full feasibility study and when the company does start development?
Well, the big thing is that when it's a small company doing a feasibility study, I guess how keen are they on actually developing it? Because in this environment, most of the time they will be forced to develop it. Just like a Lundin Gold with Fruta del Norte. It wasn't taken out before. It's gone into commercial production. I think it's almost close to commercial production, but it added all that value by doing it itself. And I find nowadays with the development companies, you really have to do it yourself. Like with Continental Gold developing Buriticá, you know, they had a really good development chief operating officer who also had a big hand in developing the Escobal underground silver mine in Guatemala, and he basically led the development of the Buriticá project in Colombia. So a lot of the value they added was they did it themselves prior to getting taken out by Zijin Mining. And so when you look at these development projects, you got to look at who's on the management team. Do they have the capacity to build this project? Do they have the capacity to attract funds to build this project, and what is their financing exposure? And so the idea nowadays of these development companies putting together a scoping study that's basically a sell document right now is probably not what I would be looking for, is not what I'm looking for right now.
All right, we'll wrap it up there, Joe. Interesting to take a look at just another kind of subsector in the resource companies, and one that, yeah, has been under a little bit of pressure, but that's just because the resource investors right now are very, very selective, and as I mentioned, development plays just do not usually give you that sort of news flow for near-term moves, but if it's the right project, then it can be one of those long-term great investments that provides you with cash and capital gains. Joe, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this weekend show. It's a pleasure chatting with both you and Brent. I hope you both have a great rest of your weekend, and we will chat again in probably another month or two. Thanks for your time, Joe.
Great. Thanks, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456, 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Germany attending the Munich Security Conference, The Secretary of State says Western ideology is winning.
Well, let me give you an idea of what's real. The West is winning. Freedom and democracy are winning. And by that, I don't mean just geographical nations. The West doesn't define a space or a piece of real estate. It's any nation that adopts a model of respect for individual freedom, free enterprise, national sovereignty. They're part of this idea of the West.
The French health minister has announced the first coronavirus death in Europe. The 80-year-old patient was hospitalized since January 25th and was a Chinese tourist and died of a lung infection caused by the virus. The man was kept under strict isolation measures. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
February is Black History Month, and what better way to celebrate than through the sounds of music? Opening summer 2020 in Nashville, the National Museum of African American Music will feature more than 50 musical genres created and inspired by African Americans. Museum President and CEO H. Beecher Hicks III.
We are proud to be a first-of-its-kind museum dedicated to celebrating the role African Americans play in shaping the American soundtrack. When you step inside the museum, you'll be instantly immersed into what I like to call 56,000 square feet of funk. We have 7 galleries filled with more than 1,500 artifacts from some of your favorite artists, from gospel and hip-hop to country and classical. You'll be able to trace generations of untold black history within our walls. We are one nation under a groove, uniting all people through a shared history. And we are excited to welcome everyone to Nashville, America's Music City.
For more on the National Museum of African American Music, visit blackmusicmuseum.org.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Joe and Brent over at Exploration Insights. We are going to shift our focus a little bit for this segment back to more generalist comments on the broad averages and also maybe diving into where some of the other money is flowing in this market, because it isn't just U.S. equity markets that continue to head higher. I am chatting with Allison Ostrander. She is the Director of Risk Tolerance over at Simpler Trading. Now, Allison, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets, because you know what? There are still fears in the markets about what's happening with this coronavirus, some of the data out of the U.S. This week was a little bit more mixed when it came to just some of the economic indicators, even retail sales, but nothing is really falling out of bed here. Fact of the matter is, though, it seems like almost every day if the U.S. equity markets open up down, they garner a buy throughout the day. This week it wasn't the screaming higher week that we have seen in the S&P, but still looking at closing at or very near all-time highs. What do you have to say about the continued almost resilience of these U.S. equity markets?
Well, I can't help but state don't fight the trend, right? This trend continues to remain bullish. The longer time frames continue to remain bullish. So until we really start to break these support levels, I'm going to be looking at buys at support if they hold and still playing this to the upside right now. Currently, daily support on the S&P, for example, is down around 33.40. So if it can maintain that first support level, that to me looks like a good sign to jump in and take another short-term trade back to the upside. I do think within the next few weeks, as long as support holds, we will probably go up and test that psychological level of 3,400, and that will be a good test to see whether or not we're able to break above it or not. I certainly, too, am in concern about things with the coronavirus. As we were talking earlier, we were mentioning that a lot of companies are warning that, you know, their first quarter earnings may not be as good as expected because of everything happening around this. But as of right now, we're not really seeing that necessarily priced into the market. The market is still continuing to remain on this overall bullish run. So it does have me a bit concerned. I am taking lighter capital trades. I'm keeping a little bit more capital in my account right now, just to keep that risk in control in case we do start to see a bit more dramatic of a pullback.
Okay, so even with these coronavirus fears, whether you think that it could spread or the fact that looking into Q1 here is that there are some factories of big companies that do have these factories in China that are shut down or really have impacted this whole supply chain, global supply chain. Companies have started warning us about slower growth in Q1, worse earnings in Q1, but the stocks haven't reacted. Do you think that is a sign that the stocks don't care, or what's going on here?
I think it is a bit of both. I think partially the stocks don't care, right? Investors are still, if they're technical like me, they're still seeing these trends, and nothing right now is saying against the trend at this time, hey, you know, be a little bit more cautious of a stronger pullback. We're still holding support levels, and we're still seeing overall moves to the upside in a lot of these. Even on longer time frames, like for Amazon and Netflix, we've actually gotten trigger signals on the weekly chart just a few weeks ago to look at going long and buying again for stronger bullish trends to the upside. But like you mentioned, I am concerned companies like Apple aren't necessarily seeing this priced in yet. And though I am not going to fight this trend, right, that's a great way to lose money is to keep betting against the trend, so I'm not going to fight it. But once we do start to break those support levels, I'm definitely going to be protecting a capital a bit more, and if I own shares in it, I will start to consider some covered calls.
Okay, so just watching, I guess you have said before, that cautious bull, right?
Yes.
The markets, yes, they keep on moving up. There are a lot of warning signs out there. But don't fight the trend, and also don't fight the Fed, which continues to say that they are willing to get easy if needed, but they haven't really needed to get easier than they have been in the past. What are some of the defensive positions that you could take, though? Because, in all fairness, we are seeing some of these defensive assets still do quite well, even as equity markets continue to run.
Certainly, as we talked about prior, gold is always a safe haven for a lot of traders. GLD, for example, if you're still an options trader like me, is a good one to turn to. Currently, right now, it's still in an overall bullish trend. We've experienced some consolidation recently, but that's allowed technicals to reset, and now they're starting to show signs of going back to the upside. So I think if we can start to break above around that 150 level, certainly that's a good sign that we might go back into a bullish trend on gold. I'm also looking at more individual symbols, like I mentioned Amazon or Netflix, that are just showing strong bullish signs on longer time frames, or things like Hershey's, where it's more a seasonality trade given Valentine's Day that just happened, as well as Easter coming up. That's certainly a bigger candy holiday, if you will. And last year, from, you know, going into February and certainly March and April, Hershey's followed along beautifully with a bullish trend and that seasonality for continuing to the upside during that time. And we're seeing a very similar chart pattern start to occur this year. So that to me is another safe haven that, as long as support levels hold, that to me looks like it's good to go back and retest recent highs around 162. And certainly if it breaks above them, continuing to the upside from there.
Okay, hey, that Hershey's trade does make sense. Let's circle back around to a couple of the other trades that you mentioned there. When it comes to gold, looking at GLD, it's really been in this consolidation, sideways move for only a couple weeks after it reached the recent high of 149.68. As you mentioned, that's reset some of the technical indicators, but argument could be that they are still fairly elevated and they could need a little bit more time. Do you think that is the case, or is 2 weeks enough here?
I think 2 weeks might be enough. If we go and just take a step back to a longer time frame, like a weekly, for example, that is still a very strong bullish trend. Bollinger Bands are still strongly flaring open, which means they're anticipating a move higher. On the weekly chart, we actually consolidated right into the 10-period simple, which is holding us support, and we're bouncing off of it this week. There are a lot of other indicators that I have on my charts telling me that there's bullish momentum and signs. So I still like this to the long side. I don't think, we might be here maybe another week or two. But overall, as long as these support levels hold, which on the weekly time frame is 145, I still like this to the upside. It's showing great signs of a bullish trend, much like we saw back in June, going into late August of last year.
All right, let's also talk about Amazon, because Amazon was really fighting to get back to all-time highs, the all-time highs that it reached back in 2018. 2019 was a bit of a choppy, almost consolidation year, but now it's really starting to move higher, which also goes hand-in-hand with some of these other hot stocks like Tesla, even like Apple. These type of stocks are really starting to see some capital flow in. How would you trade Amazon here when it has started to break out and is at all-time highs?
Well, for those of you who are members at Simple Trading and have been in the room, you've heard me talk about Amazon the past few weeks. 3 weeks ago, on a weekly time frame, it actually gave a strong buy signal where when it's printed it in the past, for example, it's seen moves of up to $1,200. So I'm very much bullish on Amazon. I'm not saying that we'll get another strong move like that, but it certainly is hinting back to a bullish trend. Even my monthly time frame is showing that after that consolidation that we had basically from the highs of 2018 until recently when we start to break above them, is also showing signs of going back into a strong bullish trend.
All right, Allison, we'll wrap it up there. Interesting comments. Always great chatting with you. Always interesting to hear what your technicals are telling you about where these markets are going. And, hey, you've been pretty steadfast with this whole cautious bull, and it's been the right strategy for the U.S. equity markets. I know a lot of people want to say that it's time for these markets to pull back, but you have to look at just how much liquidity is available and where that liquidity is coming from. And right now, I think a lot of international money is also flowing into the U.S. Allison, thanks for your time this weekend. Have a great long weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about the secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all. Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going to stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350350. That's DO88 to 350350 to schedule your free consultation today.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I know I had a lot of company updates throughout the week, but I did want to save this segment for one more company update to end this first hour from O3 Mining and the president and CEO, Jose Vizquera. Now, Jose, you and I have been chatting over the last couple months outlining the opportunities and this large drill program that O3 has ongoing at your projects, a lot focused on this Alpha property and a couple of the targets, especially outlined in a news release back on February 12th, so just a couple days ago, that the results were focused on the Bulldog target and this Epsilon zone and target. Let's go through, first and foremost, the actual drill results that you saw at Bulldog and at Epsilon. Please outline some of the drill results that you care to.
Corey, we're extremely happy with the results we're getting right now. Bulldog, which is our main zone, keeps growing. We had 8.6 meters actually of 5.3 grams per ton. And inside there, we had like 1.6 meters of 19 grams. So we are starting to see a very consistent drilling pattern where it's showing us that Bulldog it has a potential to be expanded. So this is very good news for us. At the same time, a couple kilometers west, we have been drilling at Epsilon, and it's coming back with some interesting results as of 1.3 meters with 6.8 grams. The most important thing is that our thesis is growing. Our thesis is that we have to go down deep, down the areas where there is already resources. And our thesis, more importantly, is that the deposits in Canada do not have a big footprint that can be seen from the air, but it is very important once you have the resource, you can grow them at depth very much. And in the case of Aldor, a lot of the deposits that we have seen already in production has expanded up to 2 kilometers at depth. In our case, we have only seen the first 400 meters, so we have a lot of space to grow.
Okay, so when you say that Bulldog keeps on growing, that is on the back of these drill results, what current size is it sitting at now, and what sort of step-outs are you going to be doing or that we can expect in terms of news?
We're stepping out every 100 meters, and we are only up to the first 400 meters at depth. So I think Bulldog has the potential to keep growing.
Now, have you seen consistent grades then? If so, what have these grades more or less been averaging?
We have. We had some results from December of 2018. That was 4 meters of 10 grams. And this year we had 8.2 meters of 4.8 grams. We just had these results, as I was explaining you, of 8.6 meters of 5.3 grams. But more importantly, within that interval, we had 1.6 meters of 19 grams. So this is very important because we not only have a very clear structure, which is giving us good values, but even inside the structure we have higher grades, which is really good.
Okay, now what about this Epsilon target too? We did get a few drill results out of there, especially hole 19247, as well as 281 and 282. These are outlined in table one of the news release. What sort of scale are we seeing at Epsilon?
Well, Epsilon is a new discovery. Epsilon, we started from pretty much from zero. And the importance of Epsilon is that we are hitting the structure. No? As we continue to drill, we will continue to see higher grades. I mean, we have here grades of 1.3 meters of 7 grams, 1.3 meters of 6 grams, 0.8. But we had a couple of results in December of last year, which we had 6.8 meters of 9 grams. So I think the potential here to keep growing is pretty obvious.
So throughout this 50,000-meter drill program, can you just elaborate on the overall strategy in terms of getting at least some more information on this mineralization and more or less trying to determine the overall scale? You're not necessarily moving towards a solid resource right now, right? You're trying to just see how big some of these targets can be?
That is correct. We want to explain and we want to understand ourselves how big the targets will be. We have to understand that in the case of Orenada, which is one of our main deposits, we already have around 300,000 ounces. And the idea is to show that this can grow and that this can multiply at least times three. And the same thing in the case of Bulldog, we don't have a resource yet, but we want to see potential for a size of something around 1 million ounces. But again, this is our objective, which we're working towards. We want to see that potential, but we cannot talk about resources at this point. It'll be premature.
Fair enough. With this large of a program and really your first full year going at it, you're just trying to get an understanding of how big these projects can be. Under table one, there is also the note that you're only reporting assays that grade over 5 grams per ton per meter. So that equation, grams per ton times meters, you want over 5 grams per ton per meter. What's the theory behind reporting only this?
Well, we only want to focus in areas that will be mineable. And what it says in table one is that we're reporting things of 5 grams per ton gold per meter. So that means those results that are more than 1 meter and 5 grams, or let's say 2 meters and 2.5 grams. But I mean, we're not going to be reporting if we have a meter of 2 grams or a meter of 3 grams. I mean, that's irrelevant. I think we have to report where things are relevant.
I completely agree, and it is all about just keeping in mind an economic outlook for this overall project. In terms of consistent news results, then, or drill results, what can we expect? What can shareholders expect here because the program is ongoing with multiple rigs?
We're full on, Corey. We are going to be having results every 3 to 4 weeks, maybe even less. And we're drilling three different areas, and we'll continue to deliver to our shareholders. This is a very important drilling campaign, what we are doing, and we are trying to prove everyone that we understand what we're doing, and we'll deliver on that.
Okay, now just a quick recap for some of the listeners that maybe haven't caught some of our prior interviews. O3 Mining is a relatively new company to the markets. It is part of the Osisko group of companies, and the company does have a tight share structure right now, thanks to being a new company with a large land package. Please take us through some of the share structure comments and also an overview of the land package that the company holds.
Yeah, O3 Mining is the third iteration of the Osisko group of companies. Osisko started as the Canadian Malartic Mine. They bought it for $80,000, sold it for $4.3 billion. The second iteration is a windfall deposit where we took it from $8 million as of today, $1 billion. There's a third iteration where we are right now a $115 million company. And in the last 8 months, we have managed to buy three different companies in Val-d'Or, a very prospective camp where 30 million ounces have been produced already, not encountered, but produced, and we control today two-thirds of the Val-d'Or camp.
Now, would the company be interested in acquiring any more land, or do you think that right now, with the large land package in a well-known jurisdiction, that the focus is just going to continue to be on exploration?
The focus is on exploration. Of course, if we have an opportunity to take something for inexpensive, we will definitely consider. And to your point with regards to the structure, we do have a very tight structure. Osisko Mining holds 40% of our company, and my family holds around 6% of the company. Another company called Chalice Gold that sold us one of their properties have another 6%, and the rest is free float.
Okay, now just a quick comment on the cash in the bank. You guys do have a big program that is ongoing right now, 50,000 meters, as I've said. How much money do you have in the bank approximately?
As of the last financial statement was $32 million. Our financials will put again probably around March. I don't foresee us having less than $20 million by the end of the year.
All right, Jose, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate you taking some time on this weekend show. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. There is a lot to understand within this project or within this company because of the large land position and what is now all tying together in terms of one company with a large exploration program. Everybody, I appreciate you joining us for the first hour. And remember, I had a lot of company updates, a lot of daily editorials this week. Please go back, listen to those. Make sure that you're staying up to date with some of the market moves and general market comments from our guests. I always love hearing from all of you, so please keep all those emails coming. Jose, thank you for your time this weekend. And everybody, have a great weekend.
Thank you, Corey, and have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.